Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
Well, we are here at Perry's Pizzeria with Philip Lindsay. Hi, what do you think, everybody, about Philip Lindsay being here?
Hey!
Philip, thanks for being here, man. How does this feel?
Yeah, first off, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's
our
pleasure.
It's an honor. It's exciting.
I mean, when you pulled up here...
Yeah.
I mean...
When I pulled up here, I didn't understand how electrifying it was going to be. I didn't understand how many people, you know, it feels good to be able to have people that have your back and a lot of fans, especially a lot of kids, because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about being able to make kids' dreams come true and be a role model for them, because that's our future.
Well, and I'm sure Nick and Tyler have tons of questions, but I just want to point out the small club that you and Tyler are in. I mean, it's really besides, I mean, Joel, I guess, at CSU, but... Mm. High school in Colorado, college in Colorado, and play for the Broncos.
Yeah.
What is that like for I guess both you guys? I'll start with you, Philip, but Tyler certainly went through it as well.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Tyler understands that how much it means to be able to stay home. You know, I think you're comfortable. You know, you're comfortable. You understand the history, the background of the Denver Broncos, and you just feel like you can go out there and You've been doing this your whole life. You've been in high school, you've been in college, and now you're here. And so, like, nothing changes. Everything stays the same.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It is an insane deal. I mean, I was incredibly fortunate. The exact same start to my career as Phil.
Yeah.
Undrafted guy right here in Denver. I bounced around for a little bit, Philip, and then I came back to the Broncos for the Super Bowl. Hopefully you just stay here for your entirety of your career.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to just talk. I know you get asked this question so many times. It almost gets old. But being that local guy, you know, is there anything negative about that? I mean, I'm being serious. You know, like is there anything bad about that versus the pros?
I mean, it's how you take it. It's how you interact. You know, I think sometimes, and you guys understand this because you guys have been around for a while and you guys been in the NFL, you take things for granted. You start to get – sometimes, you know, you get so much attention on you all the time that you get annoyed of it sometimes, or you get frustrated or tired. But then you got to understand that, like, this is something that, you know, people's dream to be able to see you do the things you're doing and be able to be in your home state. It's pride. It's about pride. And then that's when you know, you're excited about it. You know, there's a lot more pros. There are cons about being home, I would think. You know, for me, especially now, I just, you know, there's so much uproar and opportunity because I've been able to stay home. So I'm grateful for this opportunity, and I'm grateful for the fans having my back and being here and supporting me.
Brandon Allen.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of conversation about Brandon Allen making his second start.
Yep.
And it's been associated with looking over his shoulder at Drew Lock. Since having Brandon Allen inserted in the offense, how has it changed things overall, and how have it changed things for you?
Oh, no, definitely. Having a BA in the huddle is different, you know, because, one, this is his second game ever playing in real-life professional football, but he's handling it so well. You know, you would think that he's been there for 10 years, but see, what people understand is he has been around. You know, he's been in different organizations. He was with the Rams when they went to the Super Bowl. So he gets to see that, you know, he's been around some good quarterbacks, you know, and having him in the huddle, he's cool, calm, collected. He's confident in himself, but he also understands what he needs to do. He moves around well. So, you know, that brings that element. And, you know, in today's game, you know, with the football, you have to be able to move. I mean, you guys seeing Lamar Jackson, seeing Deshaun Watson, that's game-changing right now. They're making plays off of broken plays, but that's what football's about. It's about making plays when nothing's there.
Football Lindsay is our guest. Go ahead, Tyler.
Football is such a roller coaster of emotion every game. But, man, holy cow.
Yeah.
Up 20-0 at halftime. I know the emotions, and when you're in the locker room at that moment, you're certainly not thinking the game's over. Of course not.
Sure not.
You got to have to go. but describe what it felt like at halftime versus when the game completed.
Yeah, first off, that was my first time being in Minnesota, and that's probably one of the funnest places you can play. Like, it's like Hollywood there. Like, you coming out, and you know, Minnesota has a big defense. So these dudes coming out looking like Vikings. True. They're coming out to smoke.
They How got loud big. Was the horn? Was the horn
I'm telling
loud?
You, but see, we practiced the horn the whole practice. Okay. The whole week we had the crowd noise in the practice. That's probably the loudest place I ever played in my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they come out, and everything is just, you know, it's fun, it's exciting, but it makes you mad because it's like, all right, now it's time to whoop up on them. You know, they done came out hooting and hollering. They had different dances, and everybody's getting into it. And then, you know, you go out there and you just out physical. You pretty much handle them. Like that's pretty much what it is. And when you look at it, you seen these grown men go out there hooting and hollering. And then you look back after punching them in the mouth a couple of times, you just see their face, and you know you have them.
You were a captain as a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
You are an undrafted player who should have been drafted by the Broncos. We all know they drafted a running back in the 7th round.
Yeah.
When you come into this team of grown men, you haven't hesitated for a second in terms of leadership.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess you were like that when you were 13 and 14 years of age.
Yeah, I mean, I just think
what that is that?
Who I am. You know,
why is that?
You know, that's just something that this makes me. That everybody has their identity. Everybody has what makes them you, you know, them. And for me, it's just standing up for others and being confident in what I say and just knowing, like, when something isn't right, to be able to say that's not right. You know, in today's society, that's hard to do. And for kids nowadays, there's a lot of people following and not enough leading. And, you know, that's our problem now. And we need to get back to that. Making sure these kids have their own mind and not just to go off of what other people are saying.
So, Emmanuel was the last offensive player to be connected to the Super Bowl team.
Yeah, that's my dude.
Is it time for the young bucks for the Broncos to be that leader despite their age and experience? Is it your time?
I mean, I feel like you guys are starting to see it emerge. I mean, you see someone like Courtland who's being a superstar right now. You know, you got someone like Chubb. You know, sadly he hurt his knee, but he's a big leader. He's a big piece. That's when next year it's gonna be crazy having him in that defense. So I think that you just see a great class of confident men that bought in, and we also understand. You see, Mr. Elway went for a class last year with us with a bunch of high built characters that wasn't just on winning teams right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of where Chubb had to come from, they were in a hard conference, and they were good at the end. They had a lot of draft picks, but they weren't like that at the beginning. You know, you know how it is at the University of Colorado. Right? It was hard, but we built up, and a lot of people got drafted that year that we went 2016 year. So we had a lot of high-end character men that understood the process, and I think that now is the time for us to continue to step up, and we will continue to. You know, that they're starting to give us the ropes, and, you know, we know what we need to do, and that's what it comes down to.
You know, I've never been a fan of the idea that because of a guy's limited experience, that he could not be a leader, because I believe everyone shows those leadership characteristics.
Exactly.
How would you describe your leadership skills?
Yeah, I mean, you have to show it by example. Like nobody, you can't go into an NFL team just there, especially for me, an undrafted rookie, and expect people to listen to you. Especially when you have people 8, 9 years in the league, they're like, yo, this is your first year, this is your second year. But when you show it, when you're out there with them, bleeding, sweating, you know, you're going through the pain with them, but you're not messing up things. You're holding yourself accountable, and you can hold them accountable, and you can talk to them. Sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with grown men, you can't just tell them to their face. You know, you got to take them to the side, or whenever you have time in the locker room, you just talk to each other, get to know each other. And that's when you build a bond. See, me and Emmanuel Sanders have a great bond together. That's you know, it hurt when we decided to part ways with him, because he taught me so much. And that whole offseason, I was just me and Emmanuel. So I was introduced to his family. We were, you know, he'd bring me over for dinner. Like, it started to be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmanuel started to look at me not as a second-year young player, but as just a man wanting to do well for his family and win football games. And that's how we treated him.
So what do you say to those individuals who, when they looked at Emmanuel Sanders, they looked at him as being You know, a guy who was a troublemaker in the locker room. And you hear the fact that individuals are saying that he, during the game against Tennessee,
yeah,
he kind of bowed out.
Yeah.
Knowing him the way that you know him.
No, for sure. I mean, Emmanuel's one of the hardest working dudes in the locker room. He has a lot of fight, and he has a lot of work ethic. You know, the thing is, where I feel like sometimes Emmanuel had to understand is you're dealing with a young football team. He's used to having Demaryius Thomas and DeMarcus Ware. You know, older people, Peyton Manning. Like, when you have somebody like Peyton Manning and DeMarcus Ware, they run that whole organization.
You meant to say Tyler Columbus.
And Tyler's like, I mean, you know how it is.
I was on the tip of your tongue. I was helping you out. Yeah.
All right, well, let's hold that thought for a second.
Yeah.
And we come back. We got to get to the Buffalo connection.
Darn right,
all right?
Yeah.
So we'll roll on more with Philip Lindsay next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler, Nick, and D-Man.
Hi, we are at Barry's Pizza in Highlands Ranch, and Philip Lindsay is our guest. And he signed a couple of autographs there.
It might take a while.
Yeah. We'll get to everybody. We'll get to it in a second.
Hey, listen. It's good to be Philip Lindsay. I have to tell you that.
The hair.
Yeah.
What would you like to say about it?
I mean, this is who I am. I've been having it since high school.
Head and Shoulders hasn't called yet?
They haven't.
Troy Polamalu,
Who has it? Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
It's hard to beat that right now.
I think somebody
needs to cut his hair off.
So, you know what? While we're on the hair, you did something with your hair a couple weeks ago. What game was it? Where you looked exactly like Darren Brown.
Yeah.
Was that intentional to look exactly like him?
I guess I didn't think about it like that. I know Darren because he played with my cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I look back at it and, you know, it was a tribute to him. I can see him and say,
yeah,
you know, he was a hell of a player, you know, and it sucks that, you know, he had to pass out how he did.
Right. Well, it looked exactly like him, so well done.
Thank you.
Hey, take us behind the scenes here a little bit.
Yeah.
Fourth and one, you got a minute left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's chaotic. It's loud. You just said it's the loudest place you've ever played in.
Yeah.
What's going on at that moment? You know, was a play called in? We just couldn't get it communicated.
Yeah.
Take us into the huddle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's fourth and one, and, you know, you're in the end zone. And like I said, that's by far the loudest place I've ever played. In college and stuff was that place. And when it erupted, and you know, they say get loud, and it erupted, you can hear anything.
Yep.
So you had Brennan Allen, you know, trying to hear stuff out of his, you know, headphone, really couldn't hear, so he's trying to piece things together as he goes, he's trying to piece things together. And, you know, we're having to use silent count. So, you know, we just, at one point, it was just hard to hear, you know, but. You know, our OC came in with a call, and, you know, we were confident with it, and, you know, we went with it.
My favorite moment of yours this year actually came before the season started. The first day of joint practices with the Niners was not good.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree on that.
They came out on us.
Something happened the second day, and you were a big part of it. Can you talk about what that second day was about and what your role was?
I mean, look, you got joint practices, you got to understand, like, nobody wants to go out there and hit against everybody all day because you've been in – this is a camp. You know what I mean? By that time, we've been in three weeks already?
Yeah.
And then you got a bunch of other men coming to practice against you, and you know that, you know, it's never, you know, what they say. You're fighting. You're hitting all day. So we go into the first practice, and I just think that we were just – we just thought we took it as just a practice. And they took it more personal.
That's for sure.
You know what I mean? They went at us and they got us. They whipped our butt a little bit. They spanked us. But that day, you know, we went in the meetings.
How was that?
You know, it wasn't, Coach Fangio, he's quiet to you guys, but not in that meeting. And, you know, he pretty much said he's embarrassed and we should be too. So, you know, I think everybody had the same idea, right? You know, everybody goes to the move. So 9:30 hits, 10, we're in our beds. And everybody had their alarm set. Because they know, hey, you know, they're like, when we wake up, it's ass-whooping time. That's everybody knew that.
With the addition of Tim Patrick off of
Tim's
IR,
a dog.
Right?
Tim's a dog.
Yeah, I saw it in training camp against the 49ers.
Yeah.
How does his return increase your production on the ground?
First, I want to give a shout out to Tim, because the reason he made the team was my rookie year. He beat up the whole Chicago Bears.
What do you mean he beat them up?
He physically, emotionally, he just took them to the ground. I mean, from special teams to receiving, that man dominated. And everybody knew right there he was going to make the team. And then that his energy, he just one of those dudes. He just like me. You know, there's only certain people cut from the same cloth, and he's one of them. When you go to a bar fight, you want him, because it's that mentality. You know, people don't understand that. Like, you got to have that grit, that mean streak. Yeah. And having him back, the mean stuff, he'll block for you, but he's going to catch something. He's going to get in your face. You know, that helps Cortland. That helps me. That brings that energy. And you need more of that.
Let's talk about Fangio a little bit behind the scenes, because you just mentioned during training camp in San Francisco, there was a message delivered, and you guys heard it, right?
No, for sure.
I don't know if you've been following the storylines going on this week, but there's been a big story out of Jason Lockenfora, I put it out, but there's been some drama internally with the coaching staff, and that Fangio's kind of been grinding on the players. What is it like behind closed doors? What is his coaching style really like?
Yeah.
And what is the team's real belief in Coach Fangio at this point?
Yeah, first of all, it's old school. I mean, you see that defense. Yeah, we gave up some big plays. But if you're really going to see how that defense has been doing, it's some dogs. You know what I mean? You have supposedly the best, the NFL rusher this year. Well, you guys go ask him how he felt after that game. It's
26 yards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, ask the other ones before that. Like, everybody thinks it's sweet coming into the game to play us. You see, that's the thing is we play hard. It's just about making big plays. And that's what Coach Fangio is about. Coach Fangio is always saying, we play hard. You know, we're going to practice hard. We're going to play hard. We're going to be physically, mentally tough. Now it's up to us not to give up the big plays. And we got to make big plays. That's what we get paid. We got to make people miss. We got to tackle. That's all he asked for us. And Coach Fangio, he's not going to tell you much. He's not going to say much. But that man knows his football, and he understands. Now, it takes a couple of this year was his year to ground us all together. You know what I mean? Next year, you'll see a different team that understands what he wants. That's how it always goes.
How do you score more points?
You just got to, for us, we got to,
Is there enough of a dog in you, to use your words, enough of the time right now, or could that get better? Could you improve that offensively?
I mean, you can always improve the offense. You know what I mean? You just got to at times it's tough. Think about it. You want to have a great running game, but it's hard to have a running game all the time when you got nine in the box. I mean, you go and run nine in the box and see how it feels getting hit 24/7.
I'll just watch nine in the box, Phil. Yeah,
okay. You know what I mean? It just takes time, yo. It's a new offensive coordinator bringing in new stuff for us.
Best thing about being a Buff.
Go ahead.
The tradition. It's just
the pride and tradition?
Yeah, exactly.
Colorado Buffaloes will not be entrusted to the Timid of the Week. That's right.
Yeah. But I mean, right. like you say, it has a lot of background, a lot of history. And like you said, at one point, everybody wanted to be CU Buff.
It's family.
You got to get back there. It is.
It's family.
Last one, very quick. I start a football team with Colorado kids that all worked out at Landau together. I got Austin Eckler, Phillip Lindsay, and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Who should be my first pick?
I mean, of course, me. Come on, man. The fact is, I'll say this. You never should doubt me, man. You never should.
But there was a time the three of you guys were working out together, right?
Yeah.
At the same place.
Yeah,
what
see
was
who
that
the
like?
It's Coach Lando is a hell of a coach, and we're different. We're different people. Eckler's strong. He's explosive. McCaffrey's strong. He's long. He's taller. I'm more. I'm smaller, danglier. So he just was able to implement his structure and the way he did things and helped us out.
Well,
who's winning the fist fight?
Oh.
Come on.
What? Wow.
We're going to that. Who's the toughest? That's right. That's
yeah,
what
gotta
I just
go
said.
We got to go in that direction?
Yeah. It was a joke. Yeah.
Phillip, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think you can see. Hey, everybody. How about some appreciation for Phil Lindsay for being here? And to spend some time tonight talking with the fans.
Go Buffs, baby.
Go Buffs. Go Broncos. Thank you, Phillip.
All right. Thank you.
Go Broncos also.
Coming up next, Cecil Lammy on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.